Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to step inside the lion's lair, a place to explore our curiosities, the paranormal, angels, spirits, orbs. We will share our real-life experiences and invite you to do the same with your hosts, Adriana Arts and Iggy Garcia. Our call-in number is 646-595-3440.
Welcome to the Lion's Lair. Good evening, everyone. I am here with our producer, Iggy Garcia, and my guests tonight are David Two Crows Rutland and our resident astrologer, Mark Massini.
Insert fish sound here.
Drip, drip. Welcome, guys. I'm glad you're on with me tonight because you're pulling the show.
Broadcasting from deep inside the rabbit hole.
Yes, we are. The lair has had a few adjustments, but, and so has the hole. But we are all lounging comfortably.
You can adjust your friends. You can adjust your hole.
We're off to a great start.
You can't adjust your friend's hole.
All right, so the topic, we are continuing on our aliens, Men in Black, and I believe we are now bringing in more of the UFOs tonight. Mm-hmm. Ufology. Apparently, David and Mark both have had an interest in this for many, many, many years, and I'm sure they have a lot to share. I would like to recap last month's show, which was the first one. I had watched the Russian documentary, The Real Men in Black, and it was very interesting, the information that was packed in that documentary, and that's, of course, you know, if you want to believe it or not, everything is open for discussion, and a lot of people are very skeptic. I actually used to be, but not so much anymore. I do believe that the Creator created many life forms, not just ours. And as we are finding out often, we are finding out that, you know, they're discovering planets, they're discovering so much more in our system. And there's been planets, there's other, you know, solar systems. I believe that other life forms do exist now, and I've had, you know, some pretty strange experiences, but that documentary pointed out a lot of involvement from the military, and this goes way back, that it really just touched on from like the 1930s up to current, you know, but in further research, you know, there have been reports and sightings that apparently date back and were recorded in the late 1800s, I believe. So, last month after my show, I had posted a YouTube video, which I actually watched a little bit again last night because it was very interesting. And it was found, let's see. Somebody has a life. The life of somebody. That's who posted that on YouTube. That's the actually person that posted the one I watched. The link I watched was from the life of somebody.
I'm quite sure they will say so.
They're going to say we're all crazy, aren't they? This is a video on YouTube, and it is about the Congress UFO secret meeting. That's one title. If you type that in, you'll be probably led to this link or this page on YouTube. But basically, members had got together and interviewed, I want to say there were four doctors,
Dr. Stephen Greer is the main one.
And every one of these doctors have something very interesting to say about what they had found and what they have been studying, what projects and programs they had been involved with since at least the 60s. So it's definitely an interesting watch. If you have the time, you should take a look into there if you're not afraid of what you might hear. And all of these witnesses, these doctors, were sworn in. They were affirmed in, actually. I don't believe you're allowed to swear in under God anymore. You have to do affirmations. Or if there's a conflict in religions, you have to be affirmed. So they were all sworn in that way. And there's a lot of information. And I have to say, though, there's one thing that really just pissed me off. And the man that was running the whole thing, he was, picking when anyone could speak. And he specifically put 10-minute time frames on all of these witnesses. And I don't care how important that information was, when the 10 minutes was up, they had to shut up, and you did not get to hear anymore. So a lot of information did not even get disclosed because of the time constraints that were put on there. And why they were put on there is beyond me, because it just made me more curious as far as finding out what else they had to say. But all in all, like I said, if you're not afraid and you want to hear something interesting, you need to check that one out. So now, I am going to welcome on, I'd like to start with you, David, if
okay.
you don't mind.
Sure, no problem.
I'd like to know why you had an interest specifically in aliens or UFOs.
Okay.
And how far back did your interest first start? And what you have kind of been led to or discovered along the way.
Very good. Okay. So you have to back up basically to
Car,
the time of...
Car, two crows.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This fuzzy tail, fuzzy bottom. So you have to back up to almost when I was born, because I was born right on the verge of the space age. You know, I was born in 1957. They launched Sputnik that year. We got into the space race. So space has been a part of my life ever since I was born. Very early on, I remember my parents buying me records and models and getting my interest going in space, you know. They knew I was a little bit outside the box anyway, so they encouraged that kind of alternative exploration. My dad brought home UFO magazines, and, you know, I just latched on to them. I was very, very curious about that. I had some kind of intuitive knowledge that, you know, there got to be other civilizations out there, and, you know, I was very open-minded about that. But still, you know, I didn't buy everything that I heard, so I wanted to research it and learn about it. Back in my very early youth, I'd say maybe 8 or 9 years old, I started hearing about the cattle mutilations that were going on, you know, and they were associated with UFOs. And so there was other aspects coming into it, too. Even prior to that, you had UFO contactees. They weren't called abductees back then. They were called contactees. And they would be in contact with people very much, look very human like us, maybe taller, and they would come in on ships from Venus and Mars and dispense knowledge and encourage people not to, you know, start war. They wanted peace on this planet. And that was the message that was coming across from those contactees. Trying to think of George Adamski was one of them. And he was very insistent that what he was saying was real, and had some photographs. And, you know, that phase kind of went into what we're more experiencing now with the small gray creatures. That started to come across more. There was people being taken aboard and used in sexual ways, and also for just medically examined. And, you know, Betty and Barney Hill come to mind, too. You know, that was another very famous early 60s contactee case that kind of really launched the whole modern contactee and abductee era. The Betty and Barney Hill abduction took place here in Massachusetts, I believe it was, somewhere in New England. And they were a mixed-race couple, and they were abducted, taken aboard a craft, and when they returned, they didn't remember anything about it, but they knew something had happened. So they sought out a hypnotist, did a hypnotic regression to that time, and a lot of information was uncovered then about the entire incident. And Betty Hill recalled a very specific star map that has been actually used and verified that those stars do exist, and some of the orbits of those stars and planets weren't even known at the time that star map was given to her. So it wasn't something she could have made up. So you know, those things were present when I was doing my kind of in my very early stages of the UFO interest that I had, and of course Project Blue Book, the Air Force's official investigation. I remember hearing a lot about the swamp gas and, you know, the planet Venus and flock of geese and, you know,
right.
spots in front of your eyes. What's interesting is that one of the very prominent debunkers that used to work for the Air Force later came out and became a very prominent UFO enthusiast and really just said, you know, he was told to debunk these stories as he was going along. I'll find his name later. I just can't recall it at the moment. But there was a lot of different changes going on in the UFO movement at that time, too. You know, you would get what you call UFO flaps, where you'd get a series of sightings all at once in a very, like a crow flaps.
Two crows in a flap.
Yes. No, UFO flaps would be a rash of sightings in an area.
That still seems to happen now.
Yes, yeah, it does, actually. It does. And the types of craft being seen would be very similar. You know, you would get, of course, the saucer shapes. You'd get the cigar-shaped crafts that would disperse smaller crafts, the motherships, they called them. And along with that, you'd sometimes get actual close encounters of the third kind, where you'd see beings departing from these crafts and entering them. I remember a story of a man who was actually given a pancake-like food from one of these beings. You know, he actually had some food from them. So then, these stories, of course, now we have a lot of the alien abductees that have come out, you know, with the Greys. That seems to be the main thrust of the UFO movement now and where the investigation is going. So that's kind of the track that I've had through my UFO research. It's interesting that I've had a couple of actual sightings myself when I lived in Alaska. The only place I've ever had sightings was out there. I can go into those if you want some time.
Go ahead.
All right, well, I'll launch into the first
now
one.
Now's perfect.
The first one happened when I was 18, and I was in my backyard. We happened to live right behind a military base. So the fence was there, you know. And so I was out in the backyard, and I'm just kind of, you get that feeling where you're being watched, you know. And I'm looking around, like, okay. And I look straight up. And I see in the sky, clear blue sky, I see this, look like maybe if you held a marble at arm's length. It was metallic sphere, looked like a little bubble. And I had just enough time to recognize it for what it was, and it went pop. It either went pop or it moved so fast that I couldn't track it with my eyes, but it disappeared right in front of my eyes.
Was it so small that it was close to your face, or was it so high up in the sky that it looked so small?
It could have been that, because it's hard to judge distance when I didn't have anything to really gauge it against.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I couldn't really tell. I have the feeling that it wasn't more than maybe 10 or 12 feet in diameter, but at a higher height.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course I go into my house and I say, I just saw the weirdest thing, and they're like, oh, sure you did, right. You know, they knew I was interested in UFOs, so they just kind of blew it off. But the second one, I actually had another person with me. And again, at the same house that we lived at, but this was at night, in the middle of winter, very dark, you know, and we were just standing there watching the sky, because you can really see the Milky Way and all the stars when you're out there in the country like we were. And I noticed these two stars close to the horizon that didn't really look right. They were bright, and I called the attention of my friend to those stars. And as we saw them and were watching them, they suddenly went, they went like, they made that J shape and went down, and they went from bright white, yellow, orange, red, and then they went out.
Yeah.
But they moved in the same direction and just like left a trace behind almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we both looked at each other like, okay, you saw that, I saw that. Wow.
Yeah.
And in fact, Alaska, as I'm talking to people up there, has a lot of UFO sightings. I don't know if it's because of the magnetic anomalies mm-hmm. that exist up there. It's a very, and there's a lot of remote wilderness up there, so it's a very interesting place.
Which military base are you referring to?
I'm referring to Fort Wainwright, which is up there in, around Fairbanks, mm-hmm. interior Alaska. Yeah.
Because on that video, one of the doctors was just naming off a ton of corporations and Air Force bases and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to go back and listen and check and see if they mentioned that one.
Right.
I'm just curious.
Around that time, too, there was, like I say, a flap. There were other people who saw things, too. And there were seismic shocks recorded in the ground. So there's an interesting relationship there between ground.
About how old were you then?
I was probably 18, mm-hmm. 19 or so. Yeah. So that's some of my experience with it, personal experience anyway.
Do you feel like you have ever been abducted, ever? Or lapse of memory? And
I really can't say, no. I can't say that I've had that conscious kind of feeling that I've been abducted. I may have and just don't know it, but
mm-hmm.
no. But I have talked to people who have had that experience. So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
Guest caller there.
That's right. We have visitors. Well, all right, Mark. I'm going to ask you the same question. Thank you, David. What sparked your interest, and about how long ago was that, and why? Why did you have a spark, an interest in that?
Oh, I mean, I would guess my initial interest was probably 1977, I guess, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I guess shortly after that. That would probably be my first experience, really, with when that entered my... consciousness there, and
the movie sparked it.
Yeah, I used to have that sample in here, and I don't have it anymore.
You can't see Mark, but we can. He's looking for a vial.
So I guess I didn't really go much further with it after that until probably, I guess mid-90s, I guess I never did not have an interest in it, but I guess it really, probably mid-90s, I guess, is when I really started getting into the, maybe early 90s, started really getting into the weirder stuff. You know, once you see that reality is not what you're being told, and your mind starts opening up to different possibilities and things. And so once you start looking at just all the photographs and stuff out there, and then mm-hmm. if you go search, and I've posted a bunch of links on Facebook and in the chat room there, the MUFON and the Disclosure Project, run by Stephen Greer, who was on the UFO Disclosure Committee. And there's a great movie called Sirius out there, Sirius,
mm-hmm.
about David or Stephen Greer's group. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy theory out there that...
Imagine that.
Yeah, that Stephen Greer is actually works for a secret government agency, because everybody who starts working on this different technology and has the real intense close encounters and stuff ends up dead. It's like when this Disclosure Project, like he was the only one of the main five people working on it who did not have a bizarre and sudden death.
Wow.
So, whatever. Follow that rabbit hole to the
next. At your own risk.
To wherever you want. Yeah.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
So, so we're
very interesting.
So yeah, then you start.
Well, was that about the time, though, also that you started getting into astrology, wasn't it, the mid-90s?
It was. I started getting into astrology about 92, I think it was. And I started really getting into what they call the conspiracy area in 95. But then you start to, I mean, there, David made an interesting point earlier with, you know, so many things could be faked now, but, you know, back then, some of those old photographs and stuff, you know, we didn't have, you know, in 1974, 8-year-old kids couldn't get on the computer and make a video that looked like it was done in Hollywood, you know?
Right.
So the, even adult professional people could not do, unless you had, you know, government equipment at your disposal. You couldn't Photoshop stuff and alter pictures like you can now. But I mean, to me, the proof is, you know, Mexico City and Phoenix, and, you know, where you have video of 400 people witnessing it at this. Yeah, you can have two guys screwing around and older video and stuff like that now. But right. But if you have 300 people pointing at the sky and acting freaked out, and you have video of the stuff in the sky, I mean, to me, that's a little bit harder to
discredit.
But,
well, but what that brings up for me, from what I had seen, what I've read, is that the military all along has had this advanced technology information exchange agreement with aliens. So how do we know, when there are these mass sightings now, that what everyone is seeing it isn't a military shift? How do we know the difference there?
That's
because we have had the blueprint. Our military has based a lot of our fighter ships, I believe, off of this technology transfer of information, and apparently it was agreed upon that they were allowed to abduct us and do tests on us to get this information. So 2% of the population, for what I remember from my last show.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, I'd say that unless the military is extremely advanced, farther than we can imagine, because these ships can move at 5,000 miles an hour and stop, and then 5,000 miles an hour over here. I mean, the physics alone of that just kind of are beyond anything we can create at the moment. Even these advanced, say, the triangle airships, that the Aurora that we have, you know, I'm sure we have that. It can't do those maneuvers, you know. And so unless they're centuries ahead of what we are experiencing now, it has to come from somewhere else. It has to come from either another dimensional portal or from another, you know, intergalactic or stellar system.
After watching that video, though, of this meeting with, you know, these witnesses in Congress, do you think the military would actually tell us if they had that technology? Because I
don't.
Well,
if they had the technology, they'd probably be controlling us right now, ruling the world. And although there's some conspiracy theorists who think that they are, you know, we would definitely be worker bees in some kind of a hive.
We are worker bees. That is reality, people. We are worker bees. So,
so we've already been overcome by aliens. So.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, technology. Yeah. We don't know whose hands, you know, how much went into possibly wrong hands.
True.
So.
Right. So.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, there seem to be a variety of beings too. It's not just one type of being.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how the perception has changed too. As I was saying earlier, it wasn't abductees; it was contactees
right.
In the 50s and even the 40s. In the 40s, you had the Foo Fighters, who were just were the ships that would, you know, zip around the warships or the airplanes that were out there in the World War II. And then you've got contactees who came right after the bomb was dropped. You know, the aliens had a message of, you know, chill out, you know, don't use this atomic energy for war, or we're going to intervene somehow. You know, they were bringing a message of peace and control yourselves. And they were very friendly looking. They were very advanced, you know. There was an air of openness and friendliness with them. And then it turned a little bit to be more more threatening, hostile, you know, more sinister in these encounters. The aliens changed to be Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I know a lot of people are thinking, well, that's where we got the modern idea of the Greys. No, that's the chicken and the egg thing.
Right.
What happened first was you had these people saying this. Biddy and Barney Hill, as I mentioned before, classic example of the Greys taking people. Even that, though, turned out to be more of an educational experience, along with, the abduction and the examination that they went through. They were trying to tell them the same message of, you know, we're watching you, we want you to survive and thrive and mature and join us, but be really threatened by these, by the power that you have that you don't have the control of. So, but, you know, and then it's morphed as we've kind of changed in our perception of it too. And I'll get into that a little later. I've got a theory about that, but it's interesting to see how our human psychology has shifted. A lot of folks will say that, you know, the early UFO sightings were kind of parallel with our fear of the Russians and the communists and some foreign type of government and ideology coming and taking us over. So we channeled that into UFO sightings and a fear of aliens. So,
media and the newspapers, I believe, pumped it to, you know, not only discredit it, but if it, afterwards, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to believe as far as the involvement and how much technology military forces have anyway right now. I don't think we're going to be told how much that they've learned. So let's say that they have been working side by side, according to some of these doctors that I was watching on that video. You know, they've there are many species, and there's actually remains of different species at some of these sites. So, of course, they don't mention why they're dead.
Right.
You know, but they did mention that a lot of ammunition, like in the what was the LA air raid. You know, 1,400 and some rounds of ammunition was dispersed, and I believe at that time there were like two crafts that were, one was shot down in the sea, another one was found, you know, that they actually confiscated, and so, you know, that were, we reacted back then, mm-hmm. and I'm sure we still do, with violence and more. Why would they want to give us the information if that's all we're going to show them? I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're looking at us from the outside. We must be a very fascinating species because we have such genetic diversity among us, and we have such a potential. I mean, you can't write the human race off and say that we're never going to overcome our bad nature, our animal nature, because we've always got that potential to overcome that, you know. So we must be fascinating to look at and to interact with in that regard, although I'm sure that they want to be careful about how they approach us, because we're more or less like children with a loaded gun, you know.
That's what I'm kind of feeling also.
We might go off at any minute. And so the channels that they had to approach us through, they probably had to contact the military first, because they were the ones that they had to go through to get into our culture, or else they would have been shot down. But here's the interesting thing is, I think you discussed last time, there have been instances where these UFOs have shown up over nuclear bases and just shut them down. So they were showing us that they really do have the power, you know. Mm-hmm. So that probably scared enough of the military people to go, you know what, we better deal with these people, these beings, because they could definitely just wipe out our whole power structure, and come in and do whatever they want to do. So it's better to negotiate with them than try to shoot them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like my first sighting was what you had mentioned, the triangular ships. You said Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
With
where were you?
So I was at 10 minutes from where we currently sit. I lived up until 2 years ago. I lived right at a sawmill and Hayden Run, sawmill in Bethel there, back in those apartments, right across the street from the OSU airport.
Another airport, imagine that.
Yeah.
that has weird stuff flying in that out of it sometimes as well.
So these weird people flying in.
So I was... I was coming home and it was dark and I had stopped. Well, I was right by the mailbox, and I looked. There was kind of, we had the apartment building on one side, the side that was closest to the airport. Then there was a little a green area and kind of a little dog park in the middle, and there was like kind of a semicircle with trees and stuff. So you can't see too far outside of that little area. But there is a black triangular shape with lights all the way around it, and I could see forms up in it. I mean, they looked human, but it was hard to tell. But
about
it was,
how far away do you think it was?
It was just over the tree line. I mean, it
really?
Was extremely low.
About
I mean, it
how
was.
How big would you say it was? One of these crafts that I'd heard or read about, it supposedly was 26 miles in diameter.
Yeah, the Phoenix UFO is one of them. Yeah.
That was tracked through the solar system. That's freaking scary. I mean, 26 miles all the way around.
Right.
So how big do you think this was?
A few hundred feet on each side.
Was it slow moving?
It was extremely slow moving. I stopped my car and got my... I didn't have a good phone with a camera on it at the time. No sound whatsoever. Even though this was like late November or something. So it was chilly out a little bit, but not too bad. But yeah, I rolled down my window and it did not make one squeak. Made no sound whatsoever. And that's with being... I mean, I guess it was probably only a few hundred feet up in the air.
How many forms did you see in there?
Two. They appeared to be human.
Interesting.
But it
and
was
then,
black and triangular. And then I sat there and I watched it until it just got over the treetops there. Because I could only see it for... I mean, it moved very slow. So I was able to see it for, you know, 6 or 7 seconds anyways. Maybe 10, but then once it got past the treetops, I couldn't see it any longer. I mean, in retrospect, I probably should have jumped back in my car and tried to follow it when I could. I figured it most likely came from the OSU airport there.
So here's a question, though. If these are military craft, why would they fly in such public areas and risk, you know, people seeing them? Is it a psychological thing, or?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, same thing with drones. I mean, they put drones out.
Right.
And I think it's, A, maybe to put a little bit of fear into people, and
yeah,
B, into...
Fear tactic, that's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, I saw it, but I wasn't able to get a picture. So, that, I mean, it's, you know, really, what do I do with that information? I can't, like, report it, or...
Mm-hmm.
or whatnot. Then I guess my second experience was about 2 years ago, I guess, up at the movie theater up at Crossroads up in Delaware. And we had just came out of the movie theater, and there was, I don't know what the hell was going on that night.
We'll
we saw some semicircular orangish-looking shapes, and... They were flying over, and it looked. I could see helicopters up in the sky too, but these things did not appear to be helicopters. I mean, because helicopters, you have the light, the different blinking. You know, you can tell airplane and helicopter lights and stuff. This was just an orange semicircle of lights was all that I could see. And then it was, as we came home back down High Street, these helicopters appeared to be chasing, they were chasing something. Because you could make out the outline and the lights of the helicopter, and then like these things with the orange lights were like in front of it. And these helicopters were like, you know, they were hauling ass and changing directions and following these things. And I saw some other people had reported some stuff too. Probably the one that I'm sure was a UFO was last fall, probably November, late October, early November, and it was at Battelle Derby.
I remember
Park.
You telling me that one night.
And this was, I can expect this. This was a gigantic UFO.
You know, there's an airport out there, off of Valkyrie there, old Bolton Field. So it's interesting that they're around all the airports.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're wanting to monitor. But this was, you know, and I have one other witness to this one. This was gigantic. This
how,
one was
gigantic. How big was it?
I would say it would almost have to be like a mile long or something, or
really?
A half mile.
How far up in the sky would you say it was?
It was a fair way up, not nearly as high as airplanes would be that you would, you know, they're. But it was at least a few thousand feet up or something.
Still
this is much higher. Very low. I could not even make out the whole shape of it.
Really?
But it started flashing lights from, I mean, it looked, my guess is maybe triangular, but it was ginormous. I mean, it was
really huge.
Because, I mean, there was a huge empty empty space of sky, and you could see the lights would start flashing at like three different points, and then they started rotating. Then they started jumping and lighting different spots, and I mean, it was not, and I mean, this was 100 times bigger than biggest.
You didn't have your phone that time either.
I did, and I tried to focus, and I could not get anything to come up.
Really?
I'd taken a couple pictures, and just ended
disabled.
Up.
It disabled his phone.
It just ended up black space on the phone. The lights didn't show up on the phone. So I don't know if it was some kind of cloaking thing or what, but they started doing to be honest with you, we went there for the purpose of seeing it. We were trying to contact them. So we had our Moldavite and space rocks and stuff like that, and we were trying, there's some little exercises you can do to try and contact, send messages out there. Because we were just about ready to leave because we hadn't really seen anything. Stephen Greer goes into some in that Sirius movie. And I'll go into that in a second.
You can also play the Carpenters Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft.
Yes.
The what?
Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. And you will draw them in like flies.
A remake by the group Klaatu.
Yes. Or did they do the original? I don't know.
I believe Klaatu did the original.
Okay.
I believe the Carpenters.
Look it up on YouTube, folks.
I actually posted it on my Facebook page a few months back. But then it started doing this crazy stuff with the lights. It started rotating the lights, flashing on and off, and like different sections would light up really fast and then disappear. And then,
so what happened?
I felt they were trying to contact us. I thought they were giving us.
So you were there to contact them and lure them in anyway. So
yes.
Once they were there, what did you do? Did you talk to them? Did you hold your arms up?
Yeah,
did you say, take me, I'm yours?
We looked in amazement, and I fumbled with my phone for a minute. And it finally, I mean, it finally moved on, but it was way too big to be any kind of aircraft. And it couldn't even be... I mean, and it couldn't even have been different several smaller aircraft flying in a formation because it didn't like the lights were completely off some of the time. Then he started doing like some synchronized flashing back and forth.
Did you feel physically funny in any way or anything different?
I mean, I feel physically funny most of the time, but yeah, not anymore.
When this happened, I mean, when it was close to you, did you literally have like any surges of energy or
not that I remember. It was just, it was more amazement because this thing was so gigantic that
you would think something with a force like that and that size that you would feel something.
But it was a good way.
Something.
This was a good ways up in the sky, but not, not like the previous one. But it was. I cannot fathom that being anything man-made. Because we could kind of see. I mean, because you could see, like, you know, because there are stars out and stuff, and it's like. Where we just saw black space, it was obviously blocking out the stars from in between. So that's how we had kind of an idea of what shape it was. Because there were stars in the sky,
and then
there's a big section that does not, but these lights that are going crazy at different. And then the lights started flashing, like, forwards and back, and.
Yeah. Unless there's some incredible coincidence and it was people who decided to try a hoax, you know, there has to be something
right.
more to it.
Because we were the only people in these. We were at the park later than we were supposed to be.
Were you being bad?
Well, we had went there to not yet. We had been there to. We were there to. We were there to. We were there to see what we could see because.
Right.
So get into the ways and means to contact them.
Okay, so
perhaps we're going to have an exercise for our next show. We'll do it in between, and then we'll come back for an Alien UFO number 3 show.
Okay.
So we'll do an exercise in the meantime.
There's a group here in town that I've been to a couple times. There's a couple groups here in town. There's one that I've went to once.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of went through this. One of these people, I think, actually studied under Stephen Greer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen Greer kind of goes into a shorter version of this in that Sirius movie. So the method here, if you want to try, plus I like tektites. Tektites are stones that are actually from outer space, moldavite and Libyan glass, and there's some other stuff that are they're actually parts of meteorites that you hear. So when you want, I try not to wear those crystals, but if I'm trying to do something like, you know, contact ETs or something, then I will get out my outer space shit and you know, put it on or
right.
So the visualization is, I mean, you know, you picture a light going out from yourself out into the, you know, out into the Milky Way, out into space to signal whatever is out there. And then you try to visually send out a picture of the Earth so that, you know, you send the picture of the Earth signaling that you're coming from the Earth. And then you signal the north of, you know, you send out an image of North America. And then you narrow it down to, you send out a vision of the United States, then Ohio. And then you narrow it down so that you're sending out the GPS of where you are. You're sending out mental images of.
So this is all telepathy as of this point.
Which is supposedly how they communicate anyways.
It is. That's what I've. What I'm led to understand also.
Yes, so to me that has.
But then again, you're getting into mind control, which is really scary because how do we know we're not the worker bee already?
Right. I mean, and another a conspiracy theory that is out there that I think is likely, I guess. Is that I think we will never have... I don't think we'll ever have disclosure. I don't think disclosure full out there like it's in the newspaper and on the mainstream news. I don't think that will ever happen. I don't think our government will ever... Even though a third of the governments on the earth have openly said, yeah, there's UFOs.
They're real. Yeah, they're
here. They
right, right.
Said, I mean, so did the video that you posted. I mean, they're actually, you know... documents and everything. There's proof of all these documents that have been given over the years to the government, and so they're not really denying it. You know?
Right. They just kind of say that it's silly and doesn't exist.
But they're certainly not letting
weather balloon and
they're not letting everyone really have their whole disclosure and tell you everything. I mean, like I said, that's what pissed me off about the whole thing was he limited 10 minutes to each, you know, person that spent years of their life studying. How do you do that in 10 minutes, you asshole?
Right, right.
Like, that's ridiculous, and that's just another way that they withhold the information from us.
Right, and so I mean, the government obviously knows there's other beings out there, so I think they kind of hold that as a trump card. I think they just keep denying, and a lot of people aren't ever going to believe that they're out there. But that's a trump card. I mean, if you ever, not to completely run down the conspiracy hole, but I normally do anyways.
Here we go.
So,
No.
There are no coincidences, Delia. Only the illusion of coincidence.
Only the illusion.
to me, that's a trump card they have. That if they really get to a spot where they want to force a one-world government, a one-world military, whatnot, then they can say, "Oh my gosh, oh we're sorry, you guys have been right all the time. There are aliens, and they're gonna attack. So we have to, you know,
declare
worldwide martial law and." So I don't think that they'll ever come out and disclose. I think if the government ever does come out and admit stuff, I think it's going to be faked by them. I don't think they're ever going to disclose the real truth to us.
And at the same time, popular culture and kind of the general consciousness and understanding is that we're becoming more and more comfortable with the idea of it. You know,
right.
You know, that there really are aliens. We've got, what was that movie, Paul, you know, with the funny little alien guy,
yes,
you know?
Right.
I mean, so we've come from, you know, the scary movies of the 50s, you know, with the aliens were kidnapping Earth women for reproductive purposes or, you know, wanted to control the world to some guy who hangs out in your car and, you know, tells funny jokes and burps and all that stuff.
Right.
Know?
And, yeah, I mean, K-Pax was another great
yes.
movie with Kevin Spacey. There's a copy of it right there behind you, actually.
I'll
be watching
it
after the show.
Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, so, on that, like I say, on that side, you know, we're becoming more and more comfortable with it. It probably wouldn't surprise a lot of people if they landed right on the White House lawn, you know? And people would probably say, at last, finally, you know, you guys are catching
right.
up to us. So, there's the fear and the acceptance kind of battling back and forth. As far as that goes, you know, and for our hearts and minds, you might say.
So you want to take a 30-second break here and catch our breath, and
yeah.
we'll play a quick ad here. We'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
And welcome back to the Lion's Lair. We're actually in the rabbit hole. This lion is lounging around with my feathered friend, Beta Two Crows, my furry friend, Iggy Garcia, and my wascally rabbit, Mark McKinley. We're talking about aliens and UFOs, and we hope you are enjoying the show. I'm pretty much giving Mark and David the leeway here, but it's been very interesting so far. If anyone has anything they'd like to share, I think you can go into the chat room. Not sure about the phone line tonight, but chat room.
Yes, you could feel free to. The chat room is open. I've got several links posted in there, and if you're listening, you can call in at 646-595-3440 if you have any questions for any of us or for the group, and we'll put you on.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your story if you have a real life UFO or abduction, alien abduction experience to share. Please give us a call.
I'm going to back up to go back to Alaska for a minute. When I was up there and talking to some folks who knew I had an interest in UFOs, it seems like you can talk to anyone, I mean just anyone off the street, and they will either have seen one or know someone who's seen one. And they can be the most conservative people you can think of, the most, you wouldn't expect them to have a story to tell, but they will have a story to tell. So it's very widespread. I even had one friend who told me that she saw a dimensional portal open up and one of these crafts come out of it, where you could see a world beyond.
Oh, wow.
You know,
mm-hmm.
What,
like a shield.
Yeah, you know, like a ripping our mm-hmm. dimension, you know, and it came out. So these things are a lot more widespread than I think that we're led to believe, because people won't speak about them or don't know how to speak about them, or it's not accepted to
yeah.
speak about them.
They'll be told they're crazy or lunatic.
Exactly. It's the stigma that's attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And see, a lot of that has to do with the government and what they kind of made the media do back then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have to insert a quick rant here. So
not you.
And I know, what a shocking. Yeah, I mean, one of the things you hear is like, when people talk about UFO sightings or Bigfoot sightings and stuff, they're like, oh, people just want to be famous and make a bunch of money and stuff. I'm like, can you show me on the Forbes list the number of Bigfoot hunters and here, let's tell astrologers and metaphysicians in there. Oh, they're just in there to rob people of money. Yeah, I get so sick of tripping over billionaires on the street that are billionaires from having Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings and doing metaphysical work. Yeah, I get sick of that all the time.
Like Travis Walton. I mean, he's a billionaire, right?
Right.
If you don't know Travis Walton,
he's
someone who disappeared for 3 or 4 days after a UFO sighting up in Arizona, in the hills of Arizona. He was part of a team that was out there clearing land, you know, and as they were returning from their work, they saw what they thought was a fire in the woods, so they went over to investigate it along the road. And what it actually was a UFO close to the ground, glowing UFO. And they stopped their truck, and Travis Walton's friends remained inside while he went out to see it. And they're like, come back, come back. But he approached up to it and was reaching out and got hit by a beam of light and was knocked to the ground. And they took off. They were afraid. They turned around and came back, and the UFO and Travis were gone. So 3 or 4 days later, and all that time they were investigated, you know, was it a murder? Was there, you know, mm-hmm. a person? And 3 or 4 days later, Travis Walton actually called one of them from a phone booth, and
yeah.
he was very shaken, very disoriented, had an incredible story to tell about being on that craft and what he had experienced. He'd actually seen hybrid humans, you can read all about it, of course, on the internet, but Travis Walton didn't want that to happen to him. He hasn't capitalized on it. He just happened to be one person who had the courage to step forward and know what happened to him. So.
Yeah, there's a movie called Fire in the Sky based on, and that is one of the best, it's based on true accounts. That was definitely one of the best UFO ET movies ever made. It was done phenomenal job on that. And you can search, there's lots of interviews with Travis from Coast to Coast and stuff you can find on YouTube. And his event happened on November 5th of 1975. And then he, like David was saying, they thought maybe his friends had gotten together and murdered him and stuff because they couldn't, you know, Travis was gone and they couldn't find him. But, you know, he reappeared, and then Travis Walton actually passed a lie detector test.
Right, right. He was medically examined, found to be very dehydrated, and, you know, so. You know, make of that what you will, but it just shows the fact that people aren't doing this for fame and fortune, and because they can't live with the secret anymore.
Right. These people are actually very traumatized.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant experience. There's others too. I think there was some buddies who went fishing who encountered a UFO and were abducted and had a very, very powerful and life-altering experience, you know, and very traumatized. Some of them very traumatized about it. We're going to talk about it today, but I don't have that information for you, but those are just some examples of some of the things that people are coming out and saying has happened to them.
One of the first movies that I watched that affected me and made me believe, you know, this is just crazy, was I think it was called The Fifth Dimension. It's a true story about a woman and where, oh my gosh, that just the crazy events in there, but this craft hovered over her house. Her daughter, they tried her for murder, tried to and everything, but they never found the body of her daughter. Pretty sure that, you know, she was abducted and everything, but they had cops stationed outside of her house in that movie, and cops reported seeing a big craft and not knowing what it was and a beam of light coming out of this house and stuff. But that woman was really traumatized, and that was an interesting movie. That one just kind of blew my mind, and I watched it a few times when I was just like, oh my gosh. The Fourth Kind, is that it? It is it.
Oh, okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I thought it was The Fifth Dimension.
Yeah, The Fifth Dimension.
It was this popular singing group in the late 60s.
Yeah, The Fifth Element was a movie with Bruce Willis, a sci-fi.
No,
yeah, this was supposed to be based...
Mark's handing me a DVD, by the way. I'm looking at it. I'm taking it home.
Yeah, that's one
The Fourth Kind.
Yeah, it's kind of based, set up like documentary style.
Yeah.
To where...
But they did have some live footage in there of where they had set up cameras and stuff inside this woman's house and all the electronics, and then you heard this being's voice, and what they made it out to say was they kept saying "I am," which is really interesting because that's, you know, if you go into religion, that is
one of
the names of God is "I am," and that's what this being in this movie and on this live tape that was had technical difficulties, but imagine the energy that's around that. If you were recording it, that would explain, you know, we already know that they can just knock the power out of things or things malfunction.
Because that's a common, that's a common thing reported, is that people's cars die.
Mm-hmm. And lights go out.
Lights go out and phones stop working and stuff like that when there's...
Everything's disabled, electronic.
I can't remember the name of it. Was it Alien Nation? I mean, even you go to, you know, even scientifically, I mean, people make fun of David Icke and stuff for saying that there's reptilians and stuff, but actually that is correct. We are all reptilians. The oldest part of the human brain is the reptilian brain, also called the R-complex, the RX complex.
RX.
And So that's the oldest, most primordial part of our brains, and that's where a lot of our very ritualistic and
territorial,
emotionless, you know, views and acts come out, you know. Hmm. So.
Turtle.
Interesting.
Well, let's talk a little bit, you know, you guys touched upon this about how there have been a lot of credible witnesses, and we've had airline pilots, we've had police officers, we've had judges, we've had presidents. We've had people whose testimony would stand up in court to convict someone of murder, saying that they saw UFOs, things that they are trained to identify, the difference between a man-made craft and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come forth and said that, and they've been discredited, or, you know, they've been dismissed, and, you know, it's, but those same people are people we trust to, you know, enforce the law, or fly a plane for us, or judge a case for us in court, or even run the country, you know, so we have to say that something's going on there that can't be just dismissed out the window by people saying people are just crazy or, you know, don't know what they're seeing.
No, I have to agree.
Yep, there's been physical evidence left behind, too, you know, very well-documented physical evidence, so I'm thinking of the Ramstein or whatever the base over there in England where the officers went to investigate what they thought was a downed aircraft, came across a craft in the woods, triangular-shaped craft, about 6 feet, you know, by maybe 7 or 8 feet, drew sketches of it, drew pictures of the little insignias and lettering on it, touched the craft, and it took off, up off the trees, it broke tree branches as it took off into the sky, and there were impressions found from the landing gear left behind. So all that was documented, photographed, recorded. There are physical things coming to this earth and that we can't explain.
Yeah, Ramstein is a German industrial techno group.
Right.
This was Rendlesham Forest. Is where the...
Just to be accurate.
Yeah.
Don't go looking for the German group.
Right. that happened in December 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, December 26th and 28th. So there's 2 days of eyewitness sightings.
Tape recordings made of the actual events, you know, going out there and seeing that. The base commander who didn't believe the first report actually went out there and witnessed and saw those things and recorded the recording. That led to that.
Yeah, and that's too, I mean, you know, I mean, I just pulled up like biggest mass UFO sightings, and a lot of these have witnesses by police officers, politicians. Italy, 1954, 10,000 people in a sports stadium saw a UFO at the same time.
Mass hypnosis, mass hysteria.
Right.
That was popular back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's one from Portage County, Ohio, 1966. The police chased a UFO through Portage, Ohio, which is also a giant, one of the biggest Bigfoot sighting places on the planet.
They've been tied together before, Bigfoot and UFOs as well, but that's maybe a whole other show. I don't know.
Yeah. One of my favorite researchers is Robert W. Morgan, who is he's a Bigfoot researcher, but also works a lot with indigenous and Native American people, but he's collected many stories of where there are UFO and Bigfoot sightings reported very close together or at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Didn't see a connection there.
And we went down to West Virginia to Point Pleasant, made a little road trip down there and saw the Mothman statue, and of course the Mothman is a UFO of sorts, but also has been associated with those types of objects too. So
would we call him a reptilian being?
I
maybe
kind of look like one.
I think he, oh man. I think he's a, I don't know, some kind of interdimensional thing or something. I mean, almost, by the way, that's a fascinating book. If you've never read the book, The Mothman Prophecies.
I haven't read the book. I love the movie.
The movie, yes. I've got that over there. I've watched that 100 times. It's one of my favorite movies. But
we have to have a sleepover sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
Popcorn.
Well, what's fascinating is, as wild as the movie is, it is completely different than the book.
Something tickled Adriana here, so bear with us for a moment. Pajama party, I think that's
pajama
right.
Party.
Yeah. Pajama party.
And popcorn
right.
And beer.
Yeah.
Lots
have
of
a pillow
beer.
Fight. Hey, you.
Okay. Pillow fight.
Okay, anyway, back to the Mothman.
Sorry, go ahead.
But the Mothman Prophecies book actually has a lot of UFO stuff in it, too. It's really, if you want a really unsettling, bizarre book, that's because really what happened in the all the Mothman stuff didn't just happen in Point Pleasant. That was where the Silver
right.
Bridge collapse was, and
several other warnings
there
of
was
things
some,
that were going to happen.
There was some Mothman and UFO stuff here, but it actually Parkersburg was yeah. really the big area where the Men in Black stuff was happening mm-hmm. more so than
yeah
and. You read the Mothman Prophecies book, you would understand why people were terrified, because there was the movie was awesome and
books are always
had a lot of. I mean, there's no similarity between the book and the movie really, other than the bridge collapse. Because what really happened in Point Pleasant and the areas, and even into Ohio in 1966 through 67 was just a series of bizarre events
right.
that no one could explain any of. They had to kind of take a lot of liberties to make it into a movie story mm-hmm. form, but there was just so much weird stuff going on.
Can you recall
everyone
something weird that you just kind of sticks out of your mind?
Well, it was just there was a gigantic UFO flap throughout mm-hmm. that area. And then it would just be, not only were there men in black, but there would be people show up and, like, because we see that, we think of Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith and stuff for Men in Black and stuff. The men in black there actually were not, supposed like android-like or unhuman, and they would
resembled humans.
They would
to their report.
Loosely, yeah, but they would just like
taller and real white, milky skin.
They would just repeatedly ask the same questions, like, "Are you sure you saw a UFO?"
While they
are
were
you,
erasing their memories,
and they would, yeah, it was like just bizarreness, and these weird people showing up out of town and just.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that looked odd and would ask people, come out of nowhere and ask people strange questions and then leave. And mm-hmm. it was just such bizarreness that it really was not, it had to really be terrifying to be there then.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was
well, they hadn't brought hardly anything out about anything.
Right, right, right.
Except that you're all crazy.
Right.
Pay no attention to this.
Truly a bizarre
person,
and unsettling,
you know,
book.
Has been proven to be mentally ill and is locked up now.
So I'll use this as kind of a platform to get my theory out there about what might be going on. Throughout our history, our culture, we've seen talk about dragons and leprechauns and fairies and things like that. Something tickled her again. Okay.
Called a panda.
Pandas, and it seems as though, you know, there's something trying to communicate with us, some sort of intelligence, maybe interdimensional, but far beyond our three dimensions and our world, that presents itself as something that we can process through the matrix of whatever culture we're going through, whether it's leprechauns, because back then there wasn't the technology to express itself through. And as we enter into the space age, now it's become metalcraft and aliens and, but it's always trying to interact with us in some way. Maybe influence our culture, maybe gain something from us or express something to us. So I think of one example I might use is if we were inside of a balloon, if we lived our lives inside of a balloon, we wouldn't know anything outside the balloon. But a being outside that balloon could take and poke his finger here, put his hand here, and it would look so different from what we might perceive. We'd see something coming in this way, we'd see something coming over here, it would look completely different, but it would be the same being, the same intelligence. So to think about that, though, you know, that how it's changed. It used to be airships in the 1800s because that was kind of the mindset or the cultural matrix of the time. You know, Jules Verne and, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and those kind of craft morphed into the more modern, sleek-looking saucer-shaped craft, and now we have triangular craft or just lights or things like that. So it's changing as we're changing is what I'm trying to say. It's presenting itself in different ways as we are evolving our own consciousness. So are there aliens? I'm sure there are. They could be mixed in with these things. These things could be working through them, with them, or maybe just totally separate. But something's shifting in our consciousness that is allowing us to have a relationship with this in a different way. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, to add on to that, like on one level, I could almost see that it's like, because I thought of that too, because it's like, the descriptions or pictures of UFOs we would see from the 50s or 60s differ greatly from the UFO pictures we see now.
Right.
So it's like, would aliens really, would their technology really have evolved at like the same speed that we evolved? So on some level, I think that maybe taps into the telepathy or the neuro-linguistic programming to where maybe the aliens do want to contact with us. And so they kind of have to, maybe they have to create those pathways in our brains for us to be able to, because maybe we wouldn't be able to deal with just, you know, seeing anthropomorphic deity materialize out of nothing or you know, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I think that maybe they have to bring us along enough to be able to understand and to maybe envision exactly what they are. And I think a key to what with the travel, the UFO travel, and how they pop in and out of things, is I think they've figured out how to tune a radio dial. I mean, I think that's how, you know, there's these different frequencies and stuff that exist, and I think that's what ghosts and things are. We have things that can tune the radio dial to a different frequency, just like or a ham radio or a CB radio. We have all these different frequencies existing, you know, because there's right now, you can turn your radio on and listen to one station, but the waves or the frequencies for all 800 radio stations that you can get with your radio exist within this room. You're just tuning in, slightly adjusting to tune in.
Right.
And I think they've mastered that, and I think that's how, because they go, scientists go, well, they couldn't possibly travel 800 million miles. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it's like, well, maybe they can. Maybe they know how to work the damn radio dial. Maybe they know how to adjust the frequency. I mean, you know, I think that's how it's done, and just because we don't know how to do it. I mean, for God's sakes, we haven't even been to the bottom of the ocean here.
Exactly.
And we still think that, you know, mainstream medicine still says that there's like 30% of our brain that they don't even know what the hell it does.
Right.
Well, I'm pretty sure it does something. We just don't have equipment to measure it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's UFOs can time travel. We just don't have the equipment to measure it yet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I don't know how.
It's that 30% of our brain.
Right. I can't wire a light. I can't wire electrical stuff, but the light still comes on when I flip the switch. Just because I don't know how to do it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right, right. So also, you know, I guess we can talk about how we perceive their end game if there are aliens trying to interact with us, what they want from us, if they want anything, what they have to offer, what we have to offer them. How, why the interaction? Why the interest in us then?
The things I've read, when you go back to studying on the advanced technology exchange program, whatever you want to call it, back in Eisenhower's days,
mm-hmm.
That supposedly, and some other things, I'm not sure where I've read them, but I know I've read them, they supposedly don't have emotions, and we do. So I think that they're very curious as far as how we feel, and emotions of love or sorrow, happiness or whatever. I think that's, if anything, that might be their biggest curiosity. What else would we have to offer? I mean, there's so much more advanced technology. In every other way.
Yeah.
What would we literally have to offer? they probably wonder why the hell we screw everything up all the time, you know?
Right.
Why we have to fight with these emotions that we do have, why we have to always find someone to knock down and destroy, or, you know? That's why. And I've also heard that they do visit or closely monitor where our facilities are, like nuclear facilities are, because they're scared to death, you know, what the hell we're going to do with it. You know,
I'm scared of what we're going to do with it.
Well, look at what we do with it now. I mean, you know, is it still leaking in the ocean?
Right, right.
How long ago has that been, and who's cleaned that up?
Right.
Know? So yeah, you know, they're probably, maybe they're just sitting back going, taking bets on how long it takes us to destroy the whole fucking
place.
This is
an interesting reality show. Let's watch this show
for
a while.
The F word just came out.
Here's another thing too, is we're very genetically diverse. I mean, and maybe they need to replenish their genetic pool. There's women who've been told of being impregnated and bringing babies along,
yeah.
And then suddenly they're gone, you know, and the doctors go, I don't understand, you had a baby last week and you don't have one this week, where did it go? And they didn't have a miscarriage or anything, the baby was taken from them. And people talk of later being abducted again and meeting their child, their hybrid child,
which
so,
now they have a TV show about.
Yeah.
A weekly series going,
yeah,
on
so,
pretty strong right now.
You know, we are very interesting creatures, and Earth is an incredible treasure trove of life, and it's a jewel in the universe from what we can see, at least in our... we've searched for Earth-like planets. We found some that we think are Earth-like, but this is the only planet we know of that has such a huge diversity of life on it, and we've been broadcasting radio and television waves out for 60, 70 years now, you know,
mm-hmm.
So those have got to grab someone's attention, too.
If you guys had the opportunity, let's say we do our experiment. Let's say we go out to contact, to try to have contact, you know, in a field somewhere. Let's say we do have contact. So let's say that opportunity presents itself because of our collective consciousness that we do all possess, and that we do manifest a lot with. So let's say we have this encounter. What would you actually do? What would you want to do? What would you... Let's say it's all through telepathy, and you can ask your questions and understand the answers all through telepathy. What would you ask?
What would I ask them?
What would you want to know if you had to, if you really had this opportunity to communicate? Would you want to see inside their ship? Would you want to go to outer space? Would you ask them to take you with you?
I think I would have
to whatever they were willing to do, I think I would. I mean, you know, I would never do something crazy like bungee jump or skydive, but I would get on to it.
But I'll get on that spaceship.
But I'd get on a UFO. Yeah, I have weird boundaries. I would never. I will never jump out of a perfectly well-running plane, or jump off of a mountain. But yeah, something like that. Would I get in a shark cage and get into water with a great white shark? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Would I find a chance to get on a UFO? I would get on the UFO. I'd say, what do you know?
If they said you could never come back, you'd still do it. You'd have to leave everything behind. It would be impossible to come back. Would you still do it?
I'd have to take my dog. But I don't know. You know, what an opportunity. What an adventure of a lifetime. I mean, I'd go for a quick trip around the moon, but I think I still have work here to do. I'd like to ask them, what are our chances? What you've seen of the other races of the universe, given our level of advancement and non-advancement and where we're at currently in our development, do we have a chance? You know, I think I'd like to know their answer on that.
Yeah, I mean, I would try to see if they, you know, were willing to cough anything up, or if there was some secret to waking people. You know, if you had one question you could ask, what the heck would it be?
Wow.
Let's say even if you couldn't go to, if you could ask them like one thing, what the heck would you ask?
I'd want to know how they,
how do you make little aliens?
How do you?
I'd want to know the birth cycle. I really would. Reproductive and birth cycle. Mm-hmm. What to be looking for.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have female aliens? Are they just kind of like clones, or, you know, is your daddy a test tube?
Right.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah.
What would you? You had one question.
I had one question. Why do you go and mutilate cows? I don't know. You know, the whole experience would be a combination of overcoming my fear, for one thing, because I'm sure if they just showed up right in front of me, I'd go like this, you know, like, wah! But also, I'd want to approach them. I'd want to know about them, you know, depending, of course, on the feeling you get, because I think you'd have to really kind of be intuitive about their intentions,
mm-hmm.
if you could, you know, if they're not mind-controlling you or in some way.
You don't have your foil hat on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have to go back to what I said about earlier. You know, are we gonna mm-hmm. make it? Do we have a chance? Because a lot of times I think that we do, and a lot of times I think we don't. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's an important question to me. So I'd like to know what their take on that is, and how they like our reruns, because they got to be watching them for quite a while.
Right.
Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have to ask either. I'd have to think. There would be two questions I'd have to narrow it down to. But I think it would be like, what's the key to moving between frequencies or dimensions? My second question, I guess, would be, is there a... How do you wake people up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that would be my second one.
How do you get them to move from the reptile mind up into
the higher mind? Is there a, you know, hocus pocus? I mean, is there some magical thing in the brain you can tap into, or?
There is. It's the very center of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Abracadabra.
Mark,
well, you know, there's also a thought that we are really here as just leftover slaves from an alien race that used to exist here, namely the Anunnaki, who were gold miners who came here to get resources, and that we were just genetically bred to work with them, and they left us behind, and we have evolved into who we are now, and that's why we feel so separate from the rest of the creatures on this planet, because we really are.
And there's other stories that the Archons, which is another part of the...
That's
the Anunnaki. that they reside in near Mount Shasta, up in Mount Shasta. People report seeing UFOs flying into mountains.
Oh,
in
yeah.
fact, you haven't seen this. Before you guys leave, I'll share some UFO pictures with you.
That's cool.
That a friend who lives out there sent me.
Really?
She has a friend who works... flies a helicopter for like national park, help put out forest fires and stuff like that. And she has sent me some pictures.
Right.
That's awesome. I'm referring to my little book, which I just love. Strange stories and things that I read and share. Any historical fact on the land. Use your last date.
Let me know.
Let's see.
You can see microbes in my glasses. That's horrible.
Do you have a reference? I know there's a reference for things.
No doubt. I mean, our history is filled with strange things in the sky. All through biblical times, medieval Europe. I recall the story about there's a famous carving of a battle took place over city Germany. I believe it was between X and O's. The crabs look like circles, and the crabs look like X's. And some of the crabs are, you know, it was well documented, told in newspapers of the time, and in art.
Feeding beef pigs.
Yep.
I mean,
and we turned into tic tac toe, didn't
we? Well, and even look at the Bible. What are fiery chariots in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how
right.
would you describe it? I mean, if you just Google UFO sightings on Wikipedia, I mean, 214 BC
mm-hmm.
is the first one they have listed going back that far.
Right.
74
spoke of shields, flame shields across the sky. And,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they are part of us. You know, whether it's some part of our psychology that we don't understand yet, that's communicating through Jungian kind of archetypes, but there's a lot going on below the surface of our consciousness, and we are connected at below the surface of our consciousness. In many ways that we don't understand yet. Maybe we're connected with beings across the universe in that way, too. And so we're going to become, as our consciousness awakens, these things come into our physical sensory perception, too.
Interesting.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
Yes. So will I.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's really strange because you've not.
He's been kind of throwing his comments from the.
From the sideline
yeah.
over there, and
right.
It's just been really strange. Although you've made me laugh a few times, which is normal.
He's
kind of
like taking a day off. He just gets to watch it.
I want to stick these earphones on you and.
Have you ever seen a UFO? Nikki has seen a UFO.
They can't hear you. And what's your point?
Okay.
All right.
So Adriana wants me to be on the show.
Yeah, it's just
I'm having
like
fun
strange.
Watching you guys and listening to you guys. It's fun. It's interesting to see you guys play. I enjoy it. And me trying to make you guys laugh. Yeah, I've seen a UFO. Actually, I've seen two. I saw one time I was out at the restaurant. I don't know exact date when it was. I know it was when I was probably just out of high school. I was taking the trash out, and it was about in the sunset and about that time. And then all of a sudden, I see these lights shining, like spiraling, like greens and blues. And and I was like fixated on it. It was out in the west sky, and I turned around real quick to share it with everybody. Look, and I turned back around, and it was gone. It wasn't even there that long. And then when I was a little kid, we saw a UFO. My brothers and sisters, we saw like these lights that were just shooting through the sky. Just like, we didn't know what it was. It was just like, and we were just like
multiples.
Huh?
Multiple.
Yeah, multiples. They were just like shooting the air. We don't know if they were small or big. We couldn't tell because it didn't seem like it was too, kind of like when David was describing, you know, that arm's length type of when you see something like that, so you're not sure if it's really far or if it's really just right. The depth perception was off a little bit for us to guys, but that's only the two things that I've ever had. But I always feel like I'm being abducted every day, so.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Do any of you feel like you've ever been abducted?
Yeah.
And that you have a lapse, you know, or a memory lapse, or
yeah.
You can't explain how you got from one place to another or where time went. I had that actually this week.
Every Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. I get like that. No, but yeah, I've had that. I've had those feelings where you wake up and you're just kind of like disoriented and not sure what just happened. Kind of like the other day, I felt like that. I was telling you, Adriana, I felt like I was either out of my body or someone took my body.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was having a really hard time breathing. And I would just wake up gasping for air, and I'm thinking, and I wasn't sure if I was in my house or not. You know, it looked like my house, but I wasn't sure. You know, they can make it look like your house, so you're not really sure if you're there. And everything's just really different.
How do you know they can make it look like your house?
Well, I'm assuming they can.
Okay.
I mean, they could, if they're that advanced, to be able to fly gazillion miles from wherever they come from, or inner travel, I'm sure they can figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, my daughter's room, I think it's a portal, because today I was there, I was walking by before I came here, and I could hear voices in the room. And I'm going, okay.
Human voices?
No, I just heard voices, they sound like voices, but I couldn't make out what they were. And I was just like going, that sounds really weird. And I didn't give it much thought, just let it go, and just, because nobody wants to go in that room anymore, because the covers come flying off of you, and all kinds of weird stuff happens. So maybe that's for another show, Poltergeist or something. But yeah, okay. Well, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk. I really love you guys very much. I enjoy it. So we'll give the headsets back to David.
What? Hold on just a second. One more question.
I guess I'm not off the hook yet.
If we all get together and do our little exercise, and we actually make contact, and you have one question that you could ask them, what would it be?
What question I would ask them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd want them to ask me a question.
That wasn't the question.
So if you could ask them one question,
well,
what
I'm
would it
saying.
Be?
I would ask them to ask me one question about the human race. You see what I'm saying?
That's it? You would not want to know anything.
No, because you know me, I'd be gone. I'd get on that spaceship.
Right, yeah. Right.
You nothing
would.
To ask. They say, oh, this guy, I can't get rid of this guy.
Right.
Send him back.
I think we would all get on there, except Mary. I don't think Mary would go on.
I would get on,
be wrong.
And I most likely would not return.
I'd get on there, too.
Yeah, I don't think I'd come back. I think I would just be open to all the possibilities. As long as they don't probe my butt. We're good, you know, and stuff like that. Like you
there's
hear about stories.
The panda.
Yeah.
That's your one question.
My one question. Don't
are
touch
you
my ass.
About that?
See, this is why you don't want me on the show. Okay? No, but I would go on the adventure. I would go on the adventure, and I know that I would come back probably, and everybody would probably be gone, according to the. Yeah, I mean, just because time is different in space and the way they travel. It's a matter of seconds for them, probably.
I don't know that I'd want
like
to come back.
From outer space, don't I?
I don't know I'd want to come back.
It's hard to say, but right now I would say that I would not want to return. I mean, I'm sure they would return me.
They'd throw us out.
They'd be like,
Talk
your show got canceled.
Out the portal.
I said, we canceled his show. But thanks, Adriana.
Thank
appreciate you. It. Thank you.
We love you. Thank you. Yeah, they'd be tossing us out their portals.
We would be a pretty raucous crew for them, wouldn't we?
as one of my favorite comedians says, I'm not sure if I was put on the earth for a reason, but I'm pretty sure I'll be taken off of it for one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
I can just see us on the moon with that little moon buggy that's still up there.
I actually would want to go somewhere else. I don't think we'll go to the moon.
No, yeah, I think I'd
pretty
be
pretty lifeless, but yeah.
I think we're gonna
there's a lot to go
be out in the solar system and
yeah.
You know. They'll throw us out up there somewhere.
Yeah, I fathered about 500 children while I was out there.
Of alien pandas.
They all have a little top knot on their head, too.
I've heard that our audio quality... A little terror, though.
Who is that? Oh, goodness. All right. Well, does anyone else have anything to share?
You know, I think that we're talking about aliens and life beyond the Earth. I think there's a lot of things left to explore on this Earth. I mean, they're discovering things in the oceans that are so alien to us. And I'm sure there's intelligences down there and out there and in this world that we just don't understand yet. You know, we have yet to have direct communication with another animal, like dolphins. You know, we haven't shared a language with them. So we have frontiers here to explore as well. We have a wonderful living world that we live on, and maybe that's what attracts the others that come to visit us, is because this is such a unique and special place, and they care that we care about it. You know, they want us to see it in that way too and protect it. So maybe that's one reason why they want us to get our act together.
All right, Mark, do you have anything to share?
Just I'll be sending out my coordinates to the mothership, so feel free to stop by and pick me up.
Nice. Okay.
Right. I do think we need to get, put a day aside, and we'll all go. We'll pick our destination where we will go.
Let's do that.
And we'll hold an exercise together. We will keep it covert, top secret.
Right. I'll bring cameras and video equipment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we are not going to tell
goggles.
Anyone that we're doing this, and we'll right. see if we have any results. And
I think between the four of us, I mean, we've got a lot of powerful brainwaves mm-hmm. to send out there.
I do too.
Yeah, I think we're going to get some results.
So what do you think? Are we going to have another Alien 3?
There's enough material we could
probably
continue
is enough.
On.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we just touched on the surface of, again, you know, a lot of things that have happened throughout history, and we haven't made it much out of the 70s yet.
Right.
We'll get up into the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
And beyond. Right.
But yeah, I want to thank you all for being here. I've had a great time. I've loved everything that you've shared. And we will be getting together again. I'm looking forward to our exercise. So,
absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, thank you for having us on.
Much love and peace to everyone. And if you are encountered by an alien or a UFO, send out love and peace.
Right.
Blow their mind, rock their world, rock their spaceship. All right. Love you all. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay.
Peace.
Thank you.
We welcome you to step inside the lion's lair, a place to explore.